Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, everybody. Before we start this episode, I just want to make an intro. So this is live from Spotify headquarters in Los Angeles. I went out there. I got to have an interview with an incredible comedian and podcaster called Daniel Van Kirk. You've probably seen his stand-up before. His new stand-up, Rose Gold, just came out. He's a podcaster with Dumb People Town, Pen Pals podcast. So because we were in such a special place and this dude's so funny and a great storyteller, we talked for quite a while before we actually got into the top five. I think you're really going to love it, but just don't get mad at me that we don't get into movies right away. I mean, but we talk about the differences between being in a band and a comedian, the best worst gas stations, best worst movie watching experience. And I think right around the 30, little after the 30 minute mark, we start talking about our honorable mentions and our top five list. So fast forward if you want, but I'm telling you, you shouldn't, because it's a great interview. And please make sure you stick around to the end to hear his absolutely incredible Mark Wahlberg impression. It's unreal. You're going to love this episode. Please enjoy. Well, everybody, welcome to a very special Monday morning brunch episode. I'm actually in Los Angeles. I'm inside of the Spotify compound. I'm looking at a Spotify symbol, and I'm sitting across from Daniel Van Kirk, who, you know, I went through, like, I had this list of like 30 people, and I was like, come on, be on my podcast. And everybody kept saying no.
Really?
And then I made it to you, and you're like, fuck yeah, yeah, dude, let's do it.
I'll be number 29 or 30. I'm happy to be on the list. I'm down.
I'm joking, man. Like, it was a weird thing for me because I'm out here to play music. I'm playing in a band for a private party in Long Beach.
How'd
last
the show
night.
Go?
Dude, it was awesome. Like, excess money. Right. I mean, just... So it's this like shipping container convention.
Perfect.
So these people from all over the world.
Yeah.
And they're always like big, brutish, like Norwegian guys in blue suits.
Yeah.
And they're so intimidating.
They love season two of The Wire.
Yes, they do. Exactly.
Unlike everyone else, that is their wheelhouse.
Yes, exactly. Season three of Sons of Anarchy, sure. Like the Ireland one.
Yeah.
That's what they love.
Yeah.
But we played it, and I knew this was happening, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to be here for 36 hours. Mm-hmm. There's so many connections in LA that at least I could do something,
sure.
Just something for the podcast. And so I actually got hooked up to go later today to be on the Lawrence Brothers podcast.
Oh, really?
The Brotherly Love podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. But then I'm like, well, shit, I got the morning. Friends of ours, Raiders of the Lost podcast, had been here before. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, dude, Spotify might let you roll in. And I'm thinking, oh, pay money or whatever, but dude, this is wild, actually, kind of being here.
Yeah, this is like, I feel like we're in Gremlins 2.
Do you really?
Like, you are so corporate, and I'm not, like, saying it in any way, but, you know, we're just, like, everything, I mean, where we come from, podcasting, it's like, how's this work?
What do you do?
You have a head start just musically knowing, like, levels and whatever.
I'm a drummer, dude. That doesn't
still,
translate.
You've seen it. You've seen enough XLR cables, but this is so... nice.
It's really cool.
Don't you kind of feel like...
I kind of want to work here.
This is sort of like act three of Gremlins. I guess it'd be act two, right? When it really starts to go crazy. Yeah, everybody works here. What do you call this? Ambient lighting?
Yeah, they told us there's a little control. You can change the color. They're like, we don't have that in our studio, bro.
I'm like, all right, dude. Me and Rory Scovel over here doing pen pals with a brick wall and chairs we got off of Facebook Marketplace.
Dude, so tell everybody. Well, and I didn't finish my story.
Sorry.
I linked up with you just because you are involved in a lot of really cool podcasts. You're associated with
thanks.
A lot of people that we know. First off, tell our audience who you are, what podcast you're on, and your story.
Born and raised Rochelle, Illinois. farm kid, and now I live in Los Angeles. I'm a comic. My special comes out in April, right around now, hopefully. Maybe it's even out, but it's called Rose Gold. Yeah, I'm a comic. Started in Chicago, made my way out to L.A., did the stand-up scene, UCB Theater, and now I just do stand-up and podcasts and act, and my movie came out a couple of months ago called Wine Club. People can check that out. And I co-host a podcast with the Sklar Brothers called Dumb People Town.
That's so good.
Thanks, man. It's just three dumb news stories and
it's amazing.
Us and another comic joking around. Very easy. And then the other one is Pen Pals with Rory Scovel, and you can check that show out. Go to Pen Pals Pod, wherever you do your social meeing. And we just get two letters sent in by fans of the show, and then we read those letters on air and give our responses in audible form. Sometimes they write us back again. It's the Pen Pals.
So, what brought you out here, and when did you come out to L.A.?
Comedy.
Really?
Yeah. I was out here in 2008 and 2009. I was here.
Just visiting or
no,
touring?
No, I moved here.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved here. And then I ended up going back to Chicago, worked at Second City, started doing a little monthly show there. Was there for a year in like the smallest little DeMont Theater doing that show. Absolutely loved it. And then 2011 came back out here. And then that's when I got in at UCB, became a company member at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. For anybody who doesn't know, that was founded by Matt Walsh from Veep and everything else you love. Amy Poehler, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, they founded that. And Adam McKay is like an unofficial member of that. Horatio Sands is sort of an unofficial member of the UCB founding group. But anyway, they had theaters in New York and LA. So I started doing sketch comedy here with them. Got lucky enough to be on a company member team with UCB. Met some great people. Did some awesome stuff. A lot of those people like went on to TV and movies and SNL. And then I started doing stand-up. And I've just been...
So you never did stand-up before you got out here?
Mm-mm.
How do you
started in LA?
How does that happen? Because like I'm not. We were actually talking with AJ, one of the hosts of the Confused Breakfast.
Yeah,
he did his first like open mic stand up.
How'd it go?
Just as a. He said he didn't bomb.
Right, but your first set usually goes well. That's the problem.
Oh shit!
And so then you're like, oh, I can do this.
Oh, I'm so good at this.
Yeah,
that is kind of the vibe he gave me. He was sort of like, well, it didn't bomb. Like,
right.
I think I'm going to do it again. And so then that's when he's going to bomb, right?
Well, the thing is. You know, they say you have your whole life to write your first book.
Okay.
Let's read your second.
That's really like and the so sophomore like, album kind of a thing.
You
like,
have your whole life to do that first set. It's all the energy. It's all the fun things you've
40
thought
years
about.
Of experience.
Yes. Yeah. I experienced that when I dropped my first album. Thanks, Diane came out in like November of 2019. And then I was like, okay. I had my whole life to say for an hour, here's what
jokes.
I think's funny.
Yeah.
What's your second hour? I'm really, really proud of Rose Gold. You can
that,
check
this
it out
is your
my,
second one, then,
mm-hmm.
and this is
my
the one
second
that just
album,
came out.
But my first special because I didn't shoot the first one. I just recorded it for audio.
Okay.
And this one we shot at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago. Shout out Lincoln Lodge. Shout out Kyle Scanlon.
Back home, man. Nice.
Yes. And you know, it's on my YouTube channel. I just wanted to get it out for everybody to have access to it. I mean, obviously, if Netflix or somebody had
call.
Been like, what do you want to do with this truck of money? I'd be like, I'll put my special on your thing. But that didn't happen. And also, I really do feel for, you know, it being my second one, I want to get as much out there as I can for everybody to be able to see. So, you know, your first one should be good. Then let me see your second. Hopefully people like mine. But so I'd love to see his second
set. We'll let you know.
Where did he go up?
He went to the Ideal Theater.
Okay.
In Cedar Rapids, which actually might end up being a place you could be when you're coming back through. They're
I'd
starting
to
do more comedy, but it was like a 10-person open mic, and he got put on like the eighth spot.
That's a decent spot. You want to be in that like three to no more than eight, but because it's a lot of people.
Yeah,
but
yeah. But what I was saying is honestly, I couldn't do it. I have so much respect for comedians because I can get up there as a group. In a band, and I could play in front of 100,000 people and be just fine because I'm confident in what I do, and I've got my buddies with me, right? There's my boys. Walking up as a comedian, I cannot imagine just being the only person with nothing to hide behind. You're just holding a microphone.
And everyone is sitting there going, "You're gonna make us laugh?
Are you gonna do it? We came here to laugh.
We got the Uber.
Babysitters
I got off work early. Babysitters at home. We bought two drinks each. So is this worth it? But here's the deal. As speaking as a comic, that's what we think. Like, Rory and I went and saw Dave Matthews at the Hollywood Bowl, right?
Nice.
I know. We got these great seats given to us. Thank God. And I say great seats, not as any sort of brag, but just to give you perspective. We were sitting close enough to, like, you know, really experience the Dave Matthews energy. But at one point I turned around. This is where the seats come in handy. And I look at, you know, 20,000 people at the Hollywood Bowl singing. And I said to Rory, I go, we'll never get this. This is magic. This is like people's life and their history and everything they've brought to it, and their parking lot at 18 when they were like, "Yeah, I'll try those mushrooms." Like all the history of their lives, right? And all the great musicians, known or unknown, have this with. And I was like, I'll never get to do this. But then, to what you're saying, I thought, I wonder if Dave feels like, man, you guys get to like go up there. I got a fucking, this is four trucks.
That's exactly what I was going to say, man.
Four trucks. I got to fucking do the lights and the fucking fog. Oh, one fog machine is over. Oh, we're on a fog. People aren't going to like the show. And then I got to come out here and play my little songs to get everybody to like me.
Yeah.
And you fuckers get to roll up.
What's up?
One plane ticket, one seat, one bag, one microphone. I'm good.
We literally talk about this all the time about how I'll watch a comedian.
But on the other side, I'm like, yeah.
But that's so, look at that fog.
Yeah, look at that magic. There's magic.
Okay,
there.
You've opened up a line for me. I have questions. Why are you jealous of musicians that literally a band like Sugar Ray can write one song and play the rest of their lives?
So I've been talking about this.
Yes,
lately.
But why can comedians not do that?
Because even in simple society, let's say you and I work here
at Spotify. Across
the cubicle from Garrison. Okay, it's me, you, Garrison, and Sam, saying to ourselves, "What salad place do you guys want to go to? I like the one where they give you the good bread, right?" Well, if one of us was like told a joke, somebody would before you even finish would go, "Oh, I've heard this."
Really?
And now that person out of the four of us is out of it, right?
Okay.
They might go, at best, they're going to go, oh, you guys are going to love this. This is funny, right? This is funny. You'll like this. But
I've heard it. You'll like it.
I've already heard it.
Yeah.
And if they've all already heard it, there's no point finishing the joke. And that's just in society.
Okay. So we bring that.
So we bring that to stand-up as well, where they're like, oh, I've heard this. Now, here's the wrinkle that I've found. Because I do observational comedy, but I also really do stories as well. This hour, Rose Gold has two huge stories in it.
Wow.
Closes with a big story, kind of has a big story in the middle. And then even the other stuff, I'll kind of like split the difference where I'll have a story that spurns some observational comedy, and then maybe I'll go back to the story now. That's pretty common, but there's two just like straight up stories. When you do those, people will get bummed out that you didn't tell that story.
Is it like the machine for Bert Kreischer?
Could
like,
be.
He still tells it.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
He still tells it.
Right. And it's because, so I have in the Rose Gold, I close with this Boston story. And I, in the past couple years of leading up to this special, I would go back to places I've been before, or maybe even a set here in LA, and they'd be like, oh, I was hoping you would tell that story.
Yeah.
Like it happened in Austin.
Really?
Yeah, at Moon Tower Comedy Festival in 2022, I did it.
Great name, by the way.
And then, yeah, it's such a great festival. And then in 2023, I didn't do it. And a guy was like, I saw you last year at this festival. I came back to this show hoping you were going to tell that story.
Wow.
Again. Because people, the difference is, if you and Sam and Garrison and I are sitting around figuring out where we're going to go to lunch later here at Spotify.
Because we work here now.
And I start telling a story, right? And you've already heard it. You are, instead of being out now, you're jazzed to be like, guys, you're going to love this story.
Okay. So,
oh, I love when you tell this story. And
that's true. Okay.
And
I see what you're
saying.
And so
that aspect of it, you can't do it for too long. You probably don't want to hear it more than twice, maybe three times. So it's still different from music, but storytelling is our oldest form of entertainment. So I've like heard on other history podcasts. And we revel in that, that ability to take us away, make us think about something else. And then even within the story, because I'm also an actor and came up in sketch and improv, I'm doing those characters. So it's almost like a mini little play at the end.
Okay.
And people will go see Hamilton 100 fucking times. And if anything, I'm Hamilton on stage. I am Hamilton. No. But it's a thing that people absolutely love. But beyond that, I mean, I just did. I did Cedar Rapids Lucky Cat Comedy in November.
Yep.
Like a week before I shot the special. So I ran the hour.
Oh, yeah. You're
gassed
moving it
out.
Yep,
yes.
Exactly.
Love to have that. Shout out Haley in Cedar Rapids. I came back there because that location just closed down. I think she's still going to be producing shows, but Lucky Cat and that brewery is no more, I believe. And I was like, well, I have to do all new material.
Yeah.
Because I just, anybody who's come back, they just saw me 3 months ago. And the funny thing was, is it was way more people and like a whole bunch of people who had not seen it. So I guess I could do whatever.
Yeah.
But the great news is, for me, is that I was jazzed about that opportunity because anybody who was like, oh, you didn't do any of those stuff. I go, I was just here 3 months ago, man.
Yeah.
What did you know? So I had to do new stuff. Sorry, it wasn't special level material, but it was brand new. It is such a different thing. But like Gaffigan, you know, he would come out after his hour and do requests.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's genius.
And Brian Regan, I think, does too. And they'll be like, are there any old bits you guys want to hear? Because there is some of that. And I think that we're in such a comedy boom that there are people that want to show their friends something that they heard the last time that person was here, or they want to have that again. But really, I think if somebody sees something once, hopefully they love it. Twice, they'd probably be like, yeah, that is great.
Pretty,
I love that.
Pretty
bit.
Good, yeah.
Third time, you're going to start losing people.
Okay.
And whereas music.
It's just even more.
Does anybody, like, who's going to Elton being like, new stuff?
Come on, new album.
Right. Whatever you didn't do for The Lion King.
No.
Wasn't that him?
Well, then, so this is a secondary question. So my band is actually a cover band.
That's the best.
And we literally play the Midwest, playing all the favorite songs everyone's ever wanted to hear and kind of putting our own spin on it.
Shit.
But why are there no cover comedians?
You can't. It's impossible.
But some would say it's impossible to be Michael Jackson and to play Michael Jackson's song.
So where is it? There's the National Comedy something. Man, it was near where I was recently on tour. But it's like their own little museum. It's outside New York. I think it's technically in Jersey. And you can go on a stage and do famous material.
Okay.
So Nate Bargatze, one of the best comics in the country. He posted a thing, if you go deep enough on his gram, where he was doing Seinfeld. And it just doesn't work.
Like he was telling Seinfeld jokes.
Yeah. He was doing his material, I think, from his I'm Telling You for the Last Time special.
Okay.
But you can't do it. Now, I say that having been a child who just recited word for word Jeff Foxworthy, Ron
Jeff
White's
Foxworthy.
Tater Salad. Dude, Jeff Foxworthy is such a great
Remember
comic.
They were all on CDs, the albums were, and we
course.
Used to just go. But again, we're listening to this over
fishing.
And over.
Oh, my God. I would say the line like, he'd be like, he was doing like a fisherman bit, and he's like, now, when you're out there on the lake, we do care about conservation and pollution, so when you finish your beer, don't just throw it off the side. Fill that son of a bitch up. Let it sink down to the bottom. Nobody needs to see trash. And it's, you know, that's me doing an impression. But it's you do go through that stage of the comic where you're just repeating material. I've wondered before if somebody could do a show where you had to do somebody else's bit.
If a famous comedian, a couple of them got together and they're like, okay, we're going to do each other's sets.
I
don't know.
Can I be vulgar?
Yeah.
It would just feel like jerking off without coming. Okay. Like you aren't even this. First of all, it's not the best way you want to be doing it, and it never really paid off.
Maybe okay. So maybe
comedy. It is so much of like, what do you think is funny?
Yeah. Okay. And in I guess in our band we're just like, we're saying what does the crowd want to hear?
Then
we're not talking about us.
But then you get into a whole other thing of, we take this for granted. But playing music is magical.
It is.
It is literal fucking magic.
Do you play at all?
No. I've been trying for years. Barely. I mean, and you know, remember kids in high school who were like, oh, I'm going to fail that test. And that meant they were getting a B.
Yes,
but when
exactly.
I said it, I was like, no, I'm going to fail. I have no idea. Yeah. I didn't even finish the test. I barely play. It isn't like, oh, I can play three songs. No, I barely can play.
Yeah.
I love it because it is so hard for me. It forces me to, I can't think about anything else. You know what I mean? Like, it removes everything else from my brain because I have to figure out where my fingers are supposed to go on this guitar.
You know what's weird is I've been playing drums for 30 years and I can't think about playing drums. If I think about what I'm doing, I fuck up.
See, that's because it's magic.
It's just, it
rhythm
just does
is
it.
In you.
It just goes.
Right.
Yeah.
You feel it.
Yeah.
Which is also, I think, true for people trying to learn music. I think there is a thing to like overthinking it.
Yeah.
I think there are people in their car that can keep rhythm and they don't even know. But if you said to them like one,
okay,
come on, three, four, and then skip the ones and the threes. So it's just two, four. But if you didn't say that to them,
they would do it.
If it was a song playing that was skipping those beats, they would still on the two and the four hit it. There's some people who obviously have none of that ability, but you have it at a level that is professional.
Yeah, but I've worked at it, and that's that's the same for comedians. Like for AJ, if he really wants to pursue this, he's got to put his time in.
Okay, so when we do this again in studio,
yes,
I want him to do
to
a
maybe
set.
Do some jokes to you.
No, I want him to do a set.
Okay. How about he opens up? Because you're going to come through. We're going to do a full blown movie review at some point in like April, April, May, whatever. You come through. You also that night or whatever need to perform in Cedar Rapids, and I think AJ needs to open for you.
Yeah, I mean, I love the guys at Teehee so much. So maybe they'll just
We'll go to Des Moines
just
too,
like a drop in. But yeah, if we could do it.
We did that with Gareth. We went to Des Moines. That's 2 hours away from us, but we set up in a recording studio.
When I'm coming from Rochelle, I'm driving through Cedar Rapids.
Easy.
Anyway.
Easy.
So maybe we'll just put up a show. I've got to build a whole new hour.
Let's just do it.
And I love the Midwest. I mean, I'm wearing a Quick Trip sweatshirt.
Way better than Casey's. Everyone knows that.
Okay. Yes. 100%. I mean, I'll take a Quick Trip over at Bucky's.
Yeah. 100%. Thank you.
But...
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Casey's breakfast pizza.
Yeah.
Is unparaleled.
But does that cancel
out everything?
We've gotten
Casey's breakfast pizza for our Christmas morning breakfast.
Beautiful.
And a lot of it has to do with the financial reasons. But still, very happy
very
to have it.
Here's my thing with Casey's. As long as you can get the pizza... But then as long as you don't have to use their restrooms, you don't have to interact with their people that work there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to pump their gas that takes forever. It just goes 0.01, 0.02 gallons, 0.03. I don't know. And all the questions you got to answer, Casey's downhill.
It's where they're buying their – this is how little I know about engineering. I've watched 20 episodes of How It's Made. That's how much I know about engineering. They're pumping – is they're buying some sort of pumping engine that's slow.
Yeah.
And
or they're just not servicing it.
With.
It's just like clogged. Maybe the gas clogs inside
Quick
the
Trip?
Line.
Are you walking?
They're the best.
Quick Trip in Wisconsin. You know they're putting a Bucky's in Wisconsin?
Ugh. That feels weird.
It
feels like
feel
it's
weird.
Not going to go well.
I don't know.
I don't like Buc-ee's.
Here's the thing with Buc-ee's. It is always hilarious when I'm there. I mean, where else are you getting like meat in the round and a like teal crucifix?
It feels like you're in an amusement park that sells gas.
And like under the crucifix, it says like, for me in this house, we will serve the meat.
Pretty cool.
Right. It's very odd. And they hate Yeti. Everything's Arctic in
there.
That's
so weird.
But their bathrooms are pristine.
The best.
And their, what are they, the Buc-ee's nuggets or whatever, are like, that's their version of Garrett's popcorn. And it's really good.
Yeah.
But Quick Trip just feels like home.
It does.
And that, I mean, I just spent so much of my life in Wisconsin.
Well, they finally made their way into Iowa. It's their Quick Stars now, the Iowa version. It's the exact same thing.
Look, I know we're supposed to talk about movies, but.
Oh, shit. Movies? Oh.
But Come and Go is leaving, dude.
I know. I'm fine with it. Come and Go was novelty for me. It was kind of like, ha, wow. But they're so middle of the road on everything. Like their food?
Agreed.
Okay. Their service? Okay. Yeah. Okay, ready? You're back. You're back home. You pull up to a four-way stop. Quick Star, Buc-ee's, Casey's, Come and Go. It's a
Quick Star.
And I challenge anyone out there that thinks that you have a different answer.
Why do they change
the
name? Why is Quick Trip Quick Star?
I think it might be a different division.
Fleet Farm.
Whoa, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. You get on our side of the river, it's Farm and Fleet.
No, we have Farm and Fleets. Wait.
I thought you guys were Fleet Farm.
I think we have both.
Oh, okay. Somebody told me it's like a dispute between two brothers. And one was like, I'm going to name it this. I don't understand. Just call the goddamn thing Quick Trip.
Yes,
please. I don't like Quick and Go or whatever. There's some other version, too.
I'm yeah.
Like, no, just Quick Trip.
There's some, like the Come and Go. There's a Pack and Pump.
Dude, the amount of,
there's a Get and Go.
You can get bacon so cheap at Quick Trip.
Do you ever see how people are shopping? They're like pushing carts around Quick Trip.
Those those are recently divorced dads.
Cool.
I never have walked into a gas station and grabbed a basket. People do it in
Buc-ee's,
too.
I've never bought a loaf of bread at a gas station. I've never said, oh, yeah, I need these chips and salsas.
There's a, is it Brommel's? Blue? It's in Oklahoma.
I don't know that.
Oh, my God, dude. It's an ice cream shop that's also a, like, convenience store, but, like, a grocery store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, people are going to yell at us.
They're already yelling. They're already yelling because we're not talking about movies.
I'll do whatever you want. I'm always down.
I think what
we talked about Gremlins too.
If we did. We opened up with a movie. That's fine.
You
we're
like
good.
Gremlins too?
I don't remember watching Gremlins 2.
You have to go back. Well, it is cocaine.
Okay, let me ask you this. How old are you?
43.
Okay, I'm 41.
Okay.
And I have this weird, AJ and Sean are in their low 30s, so we have this nice little juxtaposition sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm finding that a lot of 80s movies I didn't actually see. And then because they were maybe R-rated or too scary or something when I was a kid, but then when I finally made it to the age of seeing it, I was ready to watch other movies.
Sure, that happens.
And that's been the best part of this podcast, though, is like forcing myself to watch a movie that I may not click play on yet, or maybe I never would.
Dude, Gremlins 2 is...
That's the best one? Best.
It's bananas.
Okay.
I mean, the best one is Gremlins 1.
Yes, of course.
It is.
And I remember that.
A wonderful horror Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Big time.
Yeah.
Gremlins 2 is just, man, I don't want to say a thing about it.
Well, maybe,
it is.
Maybe that's the one we have to do on the podcast.
Out there. You, dude, you will go. Did you make this up? Did you make this up? Am I watching what was released in theaters?
That's what you're thinking. You're like, this actually happened.
Dude, I tell you this. At one point, Gizmo becomes Rambo.
Okay.
Now, do you have a vague memory
of that?
I have
a visual of this, yes. Okay. I think I've at least seen this. And you're kind of like, really?
Yes.
All right.
It's great.
So that's a bad, good movie? Or a good bad movie. That's a good bad movie.
Or
is that just a good good movie?
I think it's a good crazy movie. Like,
okay.
Where you're like, who did this?
But and you're just eating your popcorn like, I don't even care. I just love it.
Yeah. Like, you remember Pacific Rim?
I never saw that one either.
Dude. Pacific Rim is bananas too.
In a good way?
Electric
just like
Boogaloo.
That?
Yeah, it should. Like, I went into it with zero expectations.
You saw it in the theater.
Of course. There was a part in Pacific Rim that is so gratifying. So it's one of those, imagine Rocky, which you haven't seen. Imagine Rocky, and right before, like, the he goes for a big punch, like, everything freezes.
Of course.
And then boom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a sort of a moment like that. I'm sitting at, like, a Thursday night, 10 p.m., like, sneak screening or whatever. You know, they used to do those. Now it just comes out all day Thursday. But I'm sitting in the Arclight in Hollywood, RIP Arclight. Arclight's going to come back someday. I'm sitting at the Arclight in Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard, packed. And it's that part where it freezes. And I don't want to give anything away, but I say something out loud, like a five row loud. You know what I mean? Everybody starts cheering.
What did you say?
Well, I don't want to tell you.
Okay.
Because you haven't seen the movie.
Okay.
But I just said something of, like, if it was Rocky, you'd be like, got him. You know, and then, then the punch lands or something like that. And the place, we all were like, ah! That movie's bananas, but it's great. It's not bad.
Yes.
It's just wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
My best movie-going experience where someone yelled something out at a perfect time
sure.
was D2, Mighty Ducks. You know, when they finally realize that they're not Team USA, that they're individuals yes. from where they're from, and everybody starts standing up going, Charlie Conway, Duluth, Minnesota, Goldberg, Manitoba, Minnesota. My buddy stands up in a packed theater and he goes, Mark Rosberg, Marion, Iowa. And everybody goes, yes! like it was the most perfect comedic timing I've ever been a part of.
Dude, I saw Gladiator in Rogers Park in Chicago, and people were screaming at that movie. Like, they were so mad at Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
And people were watching that movie as though it was happening.
Yeah.
We were watching
right?
in real time. Like, we were getting a live feed of what was happening in Rome, and people were losing their minds.
It's
I was
beautiful.
Like, this is insane.
That's how you know a movie's good.
Oh my God, dude. It's the 2 year left.
Yeah.
From Endgame.
Yeah.
When Falcon says 2 year left, people lose their shit. That was like the best.
The only other one I can think of was Return of the King, opening night, packed house.
Sure.
That first kind of fake ending happens. It fades to black.
Yeah.
This lady in like the middle stands up and goes, oh, hell no. I watched 9 hours of this for that. And all of a sudden, she just goes, it fades back into the next part. She goes, oh.
<That's>
and she just sits back down.
That's
in her
so
seat.
Great. I love communal movie shit.
It's the best.
Until
it's bad. Now, we're having problems in the Midwest with like kids, like.
Really?
Doing shit in the theaters and like ruining the experience.
I was in Chicago. I went and saw Hannibal. Two kids just running around.
You can't do this.
What are you doing?
You can't do this to me.
What are you doing, man?
Dude, yeah.
Like, I hope these kids don't get attached to this Ray Liotta character. Because I've read the book. Who does that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked in a movie theater. I was a projectionist.
Yeah.
And learned how to do that and have since forgotten almost all of it. I've wondered many times how long it would take me standing in front of...
To figure it out.
You'll be like, oh, yeah, this goes here, that goes there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would tell people, no, get the fuck out. Get out of here. I can't.
You have
to. I can't stand a movie being ruined.
No.
It.
Like, I can't say when my wife's like, what's happening? Shut up. We're watching. They'll tell you.
Yeah. Or I'll be like, if they don't tell you, we'll talk about it.
We'll figure it out.
Let's just see.
We'll go
or it'll be a bad movie, and then we'll bitch about it.
Either way, that was stupid.
We're going to have a good experience. Be like, yeah, why did they never say who that guy was? Like, that, we'll still get to share that together. But later, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I asked you, I said, let's do a top five list. And you were pretty quick to come up with the idea of top five high school movies. So do you look fondly back on high school?
You want to do high school or you want to do coming of age?
I prepared high school is what I prepared.
Okay.
That's sort of the same thing, right? Did we say high school or am I just totally wrong?
We said coming of age, but we talked about because we said this might drop later in the spring.
Okay.
You know, high school is ending and graduation. So we did give some peripheral context.
Well, then I fucked this whole thing up.
Why?
Mine are all high school movies.
Who cares?
Which is coming of age.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay, it'll work. But here's one I won't say that's not on my list.
Okay.
Would you consider, not a high school movie, okay, but as I was thinking, just pure coming of age, is My Girl a coming of age movie?
I mean, I
Thomas
guess.
Thomas J.
Yeah, right?
Shout out Thomas J.
Yeah. It has to be because, well, isn't any
like,
point of your
coming
life,
age,
are you
that's what I'm saying.
Am I still coming of age?
Right. Would you consider, I'm not going to put this on my list, Goonies a coming of age movie?
I mean, I think so.
By the end of it, they have a lot of perspective about each other and about what matters. So as I was saying, does a coming of age movie have to like span a year? Well, one of our coming of age movies, if we're going high school, is One Night.
Correct.
Right?
So it has to be a monumental moment in your young life. A monumental
yes.
experience
or
in your
by
life.
By the end of it, the character arc is having to have gained some perspective about who they are at this time or
okay.
who they are going to be or where they came from, which certainly exists in the movie that takes place over one night.
Okay.
By the end of it, and we'll, I don't want to give it, I don't
yeah,
want to
yeah.
dig
yeah.
in,
I mean, I guess we'll find out, huh?
Okay, yeah.
Well, then let me ask you this then, because I am talking about high school movies
Let's
specifically.
Do it. Dude, I'm in.
What? Do you look fondly back on high school?
Yes and no. Yes, and even the no stuff, I'm like, that's growing up, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? RTHS, Rochelle Township High School, class of 99, shout out. I really went through, yeah, I mean, I started out all sports, wrestling, track, football, had early success in the football program. Blew out my knee at the end of my freshman year. I had actually injured it years prior, but it was unmanageable by the time I was May of my freshman year. Tried to do the same stuff my sophomore year. I was a stupid kid, you know, single parent home. Mom's working a whole bunch of jobs to keep the lights on, so nobody was there to be like, why didn't you go to physical therapy? So I didn't rehab right. Tried to do football, experienced a whole bunch of pain, you know, classic Midwestern, you know, coaches being like,
tough it
you
up.
Look fine.
Tough I'm it like, up, pussy.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you don't look hurt. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's on the inside.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, yeah, it's sort of inside of my knee.
Yeah, like you and your divorce. The feelings are on the inside, coach.
Yeah.
and, but, you know, for the most part, all my coaches were great and awesome and happily married.
Yeah.
But, It just forced me by the end of that year to go, what do I want to do? And then my junior year, I started doing theater. And I actually got called into my coach's well, this will probably tie into one of the movies we'll probably say. I got called into my coach's office and two coaches were like, what are you doing? Like, you're gonna not play football and let everybody down? Like, that's not what a man does. And you're gonna audition for the play in 2 weeks? Like, you're not, when you don't get that play, now your whole fall is like shot.
Yeah.
Just to like let everybody down. And
ridiculous.
Yeah. And you know, then I went through a time where I kind of like sort of lost all my relationships with my really close friends
yep.
that I'd had in sports and found myself in a whole new group where that was so funny that I for lack of a better term, had gotten along with everybody and had kind of like been in a fine social circle. So I didn't know that people were feeling ostracized or like shitty about high school. So then I get into the theater group and they're like, we don't want to talk to this jock. So I'm ostracized by them.
Yep.
Right. But that obviously, you know, we all got to know each other. And by the end of my senior year, I had been in plays for 2 years and knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I really did have like a coming of age of like, what path are you going to be on and where are you going to go? And I still obviously stumbled and screwed that up and did stupid shit in my 20s. But high school for me was, I would say, overwhelmingly positive, if not at times difficult.
I'm in the same track as you. A lot of people are like, high school. Like, but if I could go relive it knowing what I know now, I probably would. Like, because I enjoyed it. But my true coming of age was probably college. That's where
really?
I think
Where'd
I...
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Xavier High School in Cedar Rapids. I went to the University of Iowa.
Okay.
In Iowa City.
Yeah.
And that was when I...
Pretty fun time for you guys lately.
Yeah, you know, Caitlin Clark, the greatest basketball player of all time, men's or women's?
Yeah,
it's wild. But thinking back on high school, we talk about this a lot on our podcast. We've done a lot of movies pertaining to high school because I think it's a popular topic because a lot of people can relate to it.
Yeah.
Here's and stop me if any of these are on your list. I've got a couple honorable mentions, and I usually try to keep the movies we've done off of my top five.
Fair.
List.
So if but I say one, tell me, and I'll, we can pivot.
But I'm not going to – there's some on here that I just
– It's unavoidable.
I have to. But
sure.
A couple that we have done, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Of course. It might be the quintessential coming of age.
Do you think
high
so?
High school movie.
I had never seen that movie until
when
we
did you see it?
For the podcast.
How long ago?
Ballpark within the last year. Six months or something like that.
Isn't it crazy how much it still holds up?
Yes, it's real. And I never watched it because I'm like, oh, it's like this stoner guy. Like, it's so good.
High school kid, since it came out till whatever you, constant listener, are hearing my voice, can relate to this movie.
Yes.
Every person in their 20s can relate to this movie. I would say this. Every person in high school could probably learn something from it.
Yes.
Every person in their 20s will see see something in it. And then everybody after that, it's just like, man, that was exactly.
Yeah.
And it's insane that they do that in such a short time, span that whole year, knowing exactly how to pick when you got fired from your job, when your friend betrayed you.
It's like 90 minutes long, too. Like, they're just like, wild. Bam, here you go.
I mean, the abortion stuff, everything is completely relevant.
And it's done so well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done so well. We love that movie. Obviously, if any of these are on your list, we won't talk about it yet. The Breakfast Club was one of those things where we hated it as kids. We talk about it nostalgically. When you're when you're watching Breakfast Club at 12 years old, you don't understand what they're doing.
But
like,
I remember watching
boring.
It late in high school and saying they should just show this at every freshman orientation.
100%. But I saw it before high school, and then I never watched it again until I was like 30. And that movie hits hard when you look back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Back to the Future's bit of a coming of age movie in a high school movie.
That is a good question.
Maybe
the is it biggest? A coming of age movie?
Does Marty learn anything? No.
I mean, do his parents? Rory Scovel and I, who I've mentioned, we co-host Pen Pals podcast together. We were just talking about this in the last couple of months. It's kind of weird, right? When you think about it, and forgive me if you guys trotted this territory. So at the end of the movie, the guy you went to high school with who tried to rape your wife, you just let come over and clean the car.
Yeah. But he's a changed man. It's totally fine.
You know what? If it's some sort of reek situation, then I can get behind it.
Keep your enemies close.
Once you realize that, you're like, that is so weird.
I love the theory.
I love Back to the Future.
That was one of my favorite episodes. We could do a whole nother episode on Back to the Future because of how deep it is. But I love the theory that George McFly knows that his son is a time traveler. Because think about it. You don't forget Marty showing up in your life for about, a week there or whatever. You do not forget what he looks like. You do not forget what he sounds like, how he acts. All of a sudden, a kid is born by you and Lorraine.
So, okay, but I have a question for you about this. You remember the names of every person you went to high school with?
For the most part.
How many are in your class?
150.
Okay, me too. There are people. I was in a bar in Rochelle.
Somebody that affected your life like that, though.
But how much do they know he affected it? How much do they know that?
But, yeah, I can see that. But it feels like they would be talking about, hey, remember that Marty guy? He just disappeared.
Sure. If they kept stoking the fire, yes. But the truth is, most of us go 10 years without thinking of somebody we used to work with.
Okay. And that's where we get in trouble on our show because we bring up these super fun fan theories.
I love that.
Yes.
You're
a normal person that's like, isn't that fun to talk about?
100%.
Most people are like, fuck you, man. There's no way he would remember his son.
I think it's very possible. But I also think there's so many people. I was staying in a bar in Rochelle and this guy goes, hey, man. I go, hey, dude, how are you? And he's like, been a long time. I was like, yeah, for sure. Now, when I graduated high school, I knew the names of maybe not the freshmen, but pretty much every single person in that school. Whole school.
5 years goes by.
This guy was like, dude, I haven't seen you forever. And I go, oh, it's great to see you again. And he's like, I'm Chris. And I go, yeah, dude. And then we talked for like 30 seconds. And he's like, my name's actually Alex. And I go, oh, okay, I didn't know that. And he was like, yeah, you don't remember me. And I go, I don't, man. And I've moved and I've met a lot of people. I've lived in different places. I go all over the country. I'm sorry. I probably just filled my brain.
Hard drive's full, dude.
Yeah.
Name in, name out.
Yeah. And there was I'm kind of sort of glad that he was such a dick because it allowed me to not feel bad at all.
Yes, of course.
Because I was like, man, I would have felt bad, but you were so fucking weird about this. I don't care. Actually, it's probably good that I don't remember you. You should forget me.
Yes, exactly.
But I still, I'll be honest with you guys, I made up Chris and Alex. I don't remember what name he said.
Correct.
And I don't remember what
his
name
is. But you know
there
was two different names.
And I knew that kid in high school. I knew him.
We may have
in Rochelle, I knew him. So I think it's possible they forgot because I don't, there's no way they truly understand the significance of what Marty did.
No.
So on that reasoning,
okay,
I posit that they might not. But I also agree with you because in relationships, there are things people in relationships talk about.
Yes.
Call
remember,
back
remember
to.
Remember the first day.
Remember.
Remember when we met.
Or just an inside joke that they know exactly what day that comes from. That person at that hotel who was screaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they'll never forget that weirdo at the hotel that was screaming. So it is entirely possible.
Well, do you have any honorable mentions that aren't going to be on your list?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm not sure if you would count it. So can I keep it on my list? And then you can yell at me if you're like, that can't be.
We can literally just talk about these movies.
Jump in. Can I give you my number five?
Do it.
Coming of age movie?
Yes.
High school?
Go.
The Pistol.
The Pistol? I've never seen that.
You've never seen The Pistol?
I don't know if I've ever heard of that movie.
It's The Pistol Pete Maravich story.
Whoa. So there we go. Caitlin Clark. Okay.
I know. Probably why it was in my mind as I was thinking about this. It has a scene in it that I've never forgotten. So Pistol Pete Maravich, for anybody who doesn't know, is one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Yeah.
Played in an era with no three-point line.
And freshman stats didn't count.
Freshman stats.
You could only play for three seasons. Yes.
And he played in the 60s and 70s, went on to play in the NBA. I want to say he played for Utah. I'm not really sure. But I'm probably wrong. Maybe the Sixers. It's okay, guys. It's okay. But let me know. This is how good he was. Caitlin Clark just broke his record.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Yeah.
And with counting 4 years and a three-point.
Yes.
In her fourth year, she broke his record.
Yes.
So
just think about that.
Right. So, and people go, that's why she should have an asterisk. Can I say this really quick?
You're allowed to.
Shut
the fuck up.
Shut up.
Who cares?
You're going to do that? Okay. Where were you with Emmitt Smith then when he broke the rushing record and all that because there was more games and all that stuff? Also, does that mean I can stop watching 1972 Miami Dolphins popping champagne
right.
because they got to play three less games?
Yes. Yes.
Like, shut up.
It's the internet age, man.
I will say this. I wouldn't mind if they came up with some symbol that signified era. So,
yeah, okay.
Caitlin would still go, in the context we're talking about, Caitlin would still go to number one. She is number one.
It's an era.
No, but not to hers.
Okay.
Next to Pistol Pete Maravich's, it would have an era symbol that would show, for his era,
remember,
he was the best at this.
He's
for his
the best
era.
In that era.
And there may be somebody someday that passes Caitlin. And she would
when
also
when they had the 4-point line, it's gonna be weird.
And she would also get that. You don't asterisk the person who has it.
Yes,
you asterisk or era symbol in my world that I've created, the person who got moved down. That we are recognizing that for what you did in that time. So if somebody else goes on to win all the games in the NFL, win all the playoff games, win the championship, they will go down as the greatest accomplished team in terms of wins of all time. Dolphins would go to number two, and they would have a little era symbol because they played a different amount of games.
Okay.
But they get it, not the person who's number one, because they met the challenge that was in front of them for where we are right now, or maybe someday where they were. Anyway, Pistol Pete Maravich. It's about him playing basketball in high school, his relationship with his father, his relationship with his girlfriend. There's a scene in the movie where they lose a game. And this team is unreal. Pistol Pete Maravich is unreal. And there's a scene talking about coming of age that it still impacted me so much. I remember, I can close my eyes and see the shot. And she goes, it's one game. You just lost one game. And he said, it doesn't matter. People only remember when you lose.
Yeah.
And yes, what we were just talking about with the NFL, you talk about that 2007 New England Patriots team.
Yep.
Won every game except for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we're like, yeah, but they lost.
The worst team ever.
They lost one game.
Yeah, the hardest game to win. They lost.
Yeah, yeah. When the Chicago Bulls in the 90s won 72 games, one of the games they lost, I think the 10th game, which might be of 10. I think they only lost 10.
Yeah.
The 10th game, I'm pretty sure, was against the new Toronto Raptors.
Okay.
That team celebrated as though they had won the championship.
Nuts.
Because they beat the Bulls. Because people only remember when you lost. I remember that because they lost. 85 Bears.
Yeah.
You want to go some deep Midwest cuts. 85 Bears, when they played the Dolphins and they lose on Monday night against Dan Marino.
Yep.
And I think it was Jimbo Fisher who played and told them, like, hey guys, if we run the defense you've been running, Dan Marino is going to light us up. And nobody listened to him. But we remember that loss.
Yeah.
I remember that loss more than I remember as a super small child.
It's true.
Other games.
It's like focusing on a negative comment. You put out your special and 5,000 comments are like, you are the funniest motherfucker I've ever heard in my life. And then one guy's like, sucked.
Right.
You're going to just stew on that.
And then you go, why?
Why can't I reach
Even if it
him?
Ends up being about them, why do... How often, I ask anybody listening to this, when you are going onto Walmart.com or Amazon.com,
yes, of course,
or, CircuitCity.com, and you're deciding what Bluetooth speaker you're going to buy or whatever, or hammock, when you're scrolling the reviews, ask yourself, am I just looking for a negative one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because
dude, totally.
I've gone past four stars, five, four,
it's good.
Four, four,
it's a good hammock.
One, and you're like, what did this one say?
What's this motherfucker? It's like, fuck, the box was dented when it showed up my house.
Oh, my God. I tell people all the time, if you're reading Amazon reviews, put on your detective hat and ask yourself, is this person sort of saying they don't understand how to build things?
Yes, correct.
Or are they saying... something happened with its delivery. Neither of those things have anything to do with the product you are trying
to
buy.
Yes, exactly.
So just look at it, you know, like with a bad review of like somebody, one star, right? And you go to read it and they're like, we were only 45 minutes late for our reservation and they wouldn't give us a ticket. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you looked at the one star and maybe it said why one star, right? And you could say like, bad hospitality.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like they highlight what it's going to be in it. Read about it. And that's just, are you just looking for a negative review? So that's my number five on my list of five because it's a great movie. I have not seen it in a very long time.
Okay. It might be maybe more popular now. We're talking about him a little bit.
Could be. Pistol Pete Maravich, great basketball player and a coming of age.
I'm sticking with sports for my number five. I'm going Friday Night Lights, the movie.
It's such a... This is
dude.
This is a film.
This is one of the best sports movies I think I've ever seen.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Dude. And a lot of it, for me, goes to the music.
How much do you spoil when you do these?
I mean, people...
We can, right?
These are old. People should have seen these movies.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And also,
I'm going to spoil it.
And you know what we're talking about. If you're like, I've never seen Friday Night Lights, jump ahead because you know we're talking about
I'm going
about
to tell you the end of the movie right now. They lose.
That's life.
Dude.
That
sports movies are
life.
Never that. Sports movies are always like, man, we finally took this ragtag group of guys and we won the championship.
And it's also why we love sports. This is why I tell people who go, I don't really get into sports. I go, that's fine. Just so you understand. It's all stories. Do you like stories? Pick one person, learn their story.
Yeah.
Okay? NFL season this year. I'm about to tell an NFL story. If you don't like the NFL, I get it. I'll be honest with you. As a person who worked for the NFL on camera for 3 years, I don't really like the NFL. Okay? Hard Knocks is a show where they follow a team. They follow the New York Jets, documentary style. Yeah. The last episode of the season of Hard Knocks, before the season starts.
Yep.
Is a guy who gets called in to the coach's office and they kind of go, you know, we have to make cuts. We can't keep everybody. And for anybody who doesn't know, they start out with like 89 guys.
Yeah.
They got to get down to 54 by the time the season starts. And this dude was on the bubble. He's a wide receiver. They got plenty of wide receivers. He also plays special teams, which is the way a lot of guys make teams in NFL. And they told him, like, you know how hard it is. It's never easy for us. We think you're really talented, and we can't keep everybody, but we're keeping you. Right? And he was like, you fuckers. Right? He was like, you fuckers, right? So he makes the team. You find this out at the end of the last That's episode so cool. Of the season of the show before the football season starts. Flash forward a week. Week one of the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is playing for the Jets. We will table any comments about that for a second. Or forever.
Forever.
He's supposed to come in and save. Four yep. plays in, he blows out his Achilles. He's done. Game's over, right? You yeah. just lost him. They end up staying around. They tie the game. Goes into overtime. The opposing team, it might have been the Bills. I can't remember. They kick off to the Jets. Who catches the ball? That guy.
Yep.
That guy who barely made the team. On a night where they think our season's over, what's the point of even playing this game? Yes. We're certainly not going to win this game.
No.
Against one of the best teams in the league. He catches it, runs it all the way back for a touchdown.
Yep.
They win the game. Now, if you know that story,
you'll like the NFL
for maybe just that night.
Yeah.
But yes, and that's the beauty of sports too, is because sometimes you can have that same exact story,
yeah, yeah.
and he gets tackled and he fumbles the ball, yep. and the other guy picks it up and they win, and it's heartbreaking.
Yes.
And you don't know this, but even still, much like Friday Night Lights, that would be the story.
Yeah,
and it's ruthless, but it makes you decide coming of age. Who are you going to be?
Yeah.
Who are you going to be in victory? Who are you going to be in defeat? Defeat will tell
huge.
You a lot more about yourself.
And in this movie, it does. They like, you see them become adults almost by how that season went.
Mm-hmm.
And the adversity they went through and then losing. And that moment where they're like, they're all packing their bags up for the last time and just being like, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Like, we may never have these moments again. Like, this was the culmination of our youth. It is now over.
Shout out, dude, Brad Metzger, guy I went to high school with. I remember after his senior game in high school, he said, I've been doing this two-thirds of my life.
Right.
I'm 18. I started when I was 6.
And this is the last time I'll ever
he
play.
He didn't
right?
know at that point. He did end up going on. I think he played at Eastern Illinois University. But I remember that moment of him being like, that's it.
Like, hard cut
off. I've done this for two-thirds of my life.
Done.
And you still see, I mean, we just saw it when Travis Kelce retired.
Yeah.
Or not Travis,
yeah,
Jason.
His brother, Jason.
Jason. That these guys go, I'm 35, whatever he is, right? And I've been doing this since I was 6.
Yeah.
And
now
I'm,
I can't
I'm
do it
gonna
anymore.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
That's what's beautiful about what we do, at least, is like, we can continue to do this forever. We don't have to go through that,
Bob
what
Newhart,
athletes
man,
do.
In his 90s. Still
Nuts.
Doing shows. Mel
yeah.
Brooks. Yeah, it's beautiful. But yeah, the fact that they lose, and you want them to win so bad,
and you think they're
so
gonna.
Used to, yeah, you think they're gonna.
Because you've seen sports movies in the 90s.
And it's so, it's just such a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that is the soundtrack, Explosions in the Sky.
Ugh.
That band made that movie for me. 100%. They wrote that whole soundtrack.
I absolutely love it.
What do you got for number 4? I'm interested to hear this.
Okay. Same coin.
Okay.
Other side. Varsity Blues.
Yes. I left it off on purpose. I was hoping.
I mean, here's how you know you're watching a coming of age movie. Anytime someone goes, so-and-so did blank blank.
So, yes. Like, yeah, yeah.
Billy Bob cried.
Ah.
Billy Bob's a crier. And he just, Moxon just runs down everything.
Yeah.
And you have a kid who goes on a journey of underappreciated, untapped potential.
Yep.
Who can I be? And then no one believes in me. I believe in myself. And now at the end, I'm going to get the team to believe in all of us.
Yeah.
With our extremely racist coach. I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about this movie recently. And they're like, no assistant coaches on the team?
No, not at all. Just one guy.
Just
taking care of everything.
I mean, that movie came out.
What was that like?
So you were in high school. I was in high school. You were a sophomore.
Yeah,
I was a senior.
Yeah.
Very impactful.
Oh, yeah. Because you're like, you're in it when they're doing this.
Yeah, you're walking.
Like,
it's like holding a mirror up to you. Yes. You love this movie?
Varsity Blues, yeah.
Yes.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but like, okay. When we do this podcast, I end up saving movies because I know we're going to get to it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to, I don't want to watch it nonchalantly. I want to watch it under the lens that we're doing this podcast. So there's been so many movies that I would have watched again by now, but I've refrained.
Okay.
And that's one of them, because I know we will get to that.
Yeah, it's odd. I always wonder, does this come down to just actors elevating the story?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
And everybody's perfect in it.
They are.
Scooter.
Which one's Scooter? That's
Scott Kahn's character.
Yes, dude.
Perfect. Everybody knew that guy. Everybody knew that guy.
Oh, that guy.
Yes. Too much, especially where we're from. Texas as well. But just like too much energy, kind of frantic.
Yep.
But like attractive, sort of like very in shape, but like doesn't seem to work out harder than anybody else.
Exactly.
But like very in shape. really good utility guy on the team that you need.
Hardworking guy.
And then everybody has like the Billy Bob. One of your friends is just huge.
And that's his identity. Like he's the big guy, you know?
I know. and you're always like, hey, you're really cool and really attractive. Like, don't worry about this shit. But that's easy to say when you're not that guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. And also the concussion treatment in that, where they're just like, we don't care.
No.
Billy Bob's
that's what it was.
He's got like major CTE throughout that entire movie. He's like, I can't see straight. And that's all right. And like, I remember experiencing that.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody getting a concussion.
You're fine.
And they were like, oh, don't worry. You just got to run straight. We'll just do a play where you just run straight.
Thank God we fixed that. Jesus.
Hopefully.
I mean,
we've done a lot better.
We've tried to do better at it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how my number four is going to really fit in this, but we can work on it.
Okay.
My number four, when we were talking high school movies, Napoleon Dynamite.
Ooh.
Napoleon Dynamite is a high school movie.
Yeah, it's sort of a Phoenix Rising type thing, right?
I saw that movie. Nobody had heard of that movie.
Uh-huh.
I saw it in college at like the independent theater just because I was like, what the hell is this? And watched it, fell in love with it, went back the next day and was like, this movie is going to be huge, I think. If people see this.
You're right.
And then somehow the masses got a hold of that movie and took it on a ride. If you go back and look at that movie, like it's pretty beautiful to me. There's two, it's almost a two-part movie. He gets the girl at the it's the dance. It ends with like the dance scene,
yep,
and that beautiful time after time version. And then it ends at the end when he after the presidential race. It's like a two act movie in a weird 100%. Way. But I don't know, something about how everybody ends that movie, and it gives you the warm fuzzies. You can understand this character like being misunderstood and kind of being picked on in high school, but he seems to maybe have found his crew and his niche that he never had.
Yeah.
His family's changed. Yes. I can't wait to do it on the podcast because I just love that movie.
Uncle Rico makes that whole movie for me.
He's the movie.
There are characters in movies that sort of like glue things together that if you take them out of it, yes, you still have the story. This happens a lot in TV, right? So, for example, Parks and Rec was about Amy Poehler's character and to a large extent Adam Scott's character.
Yeah.
Right? But the desserts, the appetizers, and the side dishes are what people just can't get enough of. Chris Pratt's character, Nick Offerman's character, right? Those people that kind of fill the space while these leads are kind of moving the plot. And when you have those that are so great, like just so electric, jump off the screen, like Eastbound and Down, Will Ferrell's character, it just lights it up. And so to have like in Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico, you see where Napoleon is like, what he's influenced by, like what he's kind of going against, but also like Uncle Rico's got confidence to spare that like Napoleon could use.
Dude, but you see that depth of Uncle Rico where there's that moment where like he's genuinely he's like wants to go back in time. And 100%. He's like almost cries
because
he can't do it.
Yeah,
and we're like making fun of him like what the coach would have put me in, but you're like, dude, this guy's legitimately like lonely and sad.
He's stuck on that.
And he ends up having like a girl at the end. Yeah, and you're like, yeah. Okay, shit. Yeah. Like, dude, I love that
good
movie.
Good call. I didn't even think about that movie.
You don't really think of it as a high school movie, but
it totally just operates in such a unique
space.
But you're so right. Okay, here's one. I don't know if you saw this. Might be one of the 80s ones you missed. Vision Quest.
I never saw Vision Quest either.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
It's in that weird
what
pocket.
What do you know about it?
I don't know anything about it. Is it the video game one or no?
No.
Okay.
Matthew Modine.
Okay.
He's a high school wrestler.
Oh.
He's going up against one of the best guys in the state. Shoot. And it's about his sort of journey to this match, but also like finding himself and dating someone. Madonna's in the movie.
Wow.
The soundtrack to Vision Quest is awesome. There's a song called Lunatic Fringe that's just like...
Lunatic Fringe.
I know you're out there. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. We're going to get sued. It is so good. In high school, wrestling team would watch this like every Thursday night. It is... I just want you to watch it.
Okay.
Vision Quest. You guys should do it at some point.
All right. Well, we're already making a list of possible movie episodes for when you come back. So,
we're
already there. My three, we actually did an episode on. I couldn't leave it out.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and I find more reasons to love it and relate to it as we move on in life. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I didn't even think of this either.
If you think about on the surface, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is just a funny movie. It's like, wow, it's cool, crazy adventure. But the journey that they go on to basically end up back in the same spot, nothing changes really, right? Like they pass their test and they're still a shitty band. And like they almost went through this top secret moment in life that only those two will know about. And now they have to still figure it out. And the thing we talked about most on that episode that affects me in a crazy way is that I used to believe that this could happen, that a song could change the world. Because remember, they're like, your music's going to change the world. And
you
put
don't
it
think
in.
That's true?
No. I don't think that in the world today.
You don't think you could write a song?
No.
Okay, now look. We've been buddies for a couple hours, but affinity from afar. I'm serious. I love your guys' stuff. You are definitely, before you guys even followed me on Instagram, you were already in my algorithm.
I appreciate that.
We just had this happen, though. Someone wrote a song that permeated almost all of society.
Okay. Are you talking about the...
Rich man south of Richmond?
But it permeated a society, but it didn't change the world because it almost caused some divisiveness. Don't you think?
Did it cause conversation?
Yeah. Okay.
Did that guy write one song, put it out, and all of a sudden, I just saw a clip of him in Ireland.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
Insane and amazing. Now, it definitely changed his world.
Yes.
And I think I had conversations with people from where I've been from who were like, what do you think of that song? And then I got to go, why do you like it? Because, and then I would go, you saw him say that this isn't in favor of anybody, right? Because people were trying
to
co-opt it.
Yes.
And I think that had an impact on the world. Yeah. Now, change, I mean, how much do you want to measure it?
Well, there's that, they basically say, oh, dude, the planets align and the earth sings in harmony because of your music. But they don't flat out like say it's your music, but we're made to believe that.
Sure.
We came to the conclusion that it's literally Bill and Ted as humans and their just happy-go-lucky nature and their good heart that actually ends up changing the world. And,
I love that.
And that's something to me that I still think about on a daily basis is them now going to learn this, to learn from what they just did, this coming of age to be like, we know that we're going to change the world, but how are we going to do it?
Yeah.
And like, that's the story beyond it is what I think is what I want to know, you know?
I would say that the careers of both of those guys supports that's also what they would want to intone with that.
Yeah.
Like the work Alex Winter has done.
Yeah.
Amazing. People should check out his documentaries if they haven't. And obviously Keanu. I mean, it's just.
He's transcendent.
Literal.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He just seems like so, you know, like when like a piece of metal or something, like it vibrates.
Yeah.
And then you watch it like eventually stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems that he's just at the stop.
It just keeps, yeah.
That he's, no, that I'm saying he's just so centered. Do you know what I mean?
It just never.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like, I don't know. Like it's just always like, hi.
Yeah. Hi. What's up?
I'm good. You know, that sort of thing. So I would say that those guys have proven to be, for all that we know about them, supports that.
Yeah.
Wow, Bill and Ted's is a great call.
What do you got for two?
This is tough.
Because I think we're both saving one for one.
No, we're not.
You don't think that we're both going to have the same number one?
Well, I have three left here, but one of them, I don't know if you'll count, and that would be my number one.
Okay.
So I will go with my number. I'll go with the one that, if I can't use that, I'll save the alternate number one.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with The Outsiders.
Okay. Now, I've never seen this one either. I know, right? Movie podcast guy. Hey,
no,
man.
But, no, but this is also the joy of it. Because when you watch that, this is what happens on the show. When you watch them, you get to represent the, I just saw it.
Dude, we talk about this all the time.
That is an important thing. Anybody who's tuning in to go, you shouldn't be on this fucking show. He hasn't seen it. Like, get the fuck out.
Dude,
do you not have friends? Everybody has a friend.
Yes.
The joy of
seeing it for the first time.
Fuck that. Don't you? That's nice for you. I'm being selfish.
Yeah.
The joy of getting to show of someone you love a movie. This is why most people have kids.
Yes.
This is the only reason.
Just play so they music can and
indoctrinate them with the music and movies that they love.
Yes.
And sit there and watch this kid watch a fucking luck dragon fly across the screen and make some kids jump in dumpsters. That is what we do this for. You represent this.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. Anybody who's... Believe me,
we never care. And we talk about the joy of it. Like, imagine you can watch Pulp Fiction again for the first time. Like, how amazing would it be to be able to take it from your brain
you can
watch it again?
Sit in a theater and watch The Matrix for the first time and go...
I'm envious.
Holy shit. Yep. That's the movie I saw the most in the theaters.
Damn.
And that is my number one coming of age movie. No,
whoa.
You're like, okay, if you think about it, time is... but to sit there and for the first time, if you have not... Rochelle farm kid like me, I was not knowledgeable of the classic kung fu movies. So when the Wachowskis put this out, and I am now seeing fight scenes that aren't cut to keep it close, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's in tight, and we just cut, and we cheat it and make it look real. And the Matrix goes, no, man, I'm going to fucking draw this camera back, and you're going to watch this. It blew my mind.
Yeah, completely.
So... Outsiders.
Remind me what that is.
It's an amazing kung fu movie. I'm joking.
It was like...
No, Outsiders is... Oh, people are going to yell at me for this. Patrick Swayze.
Shit. We just talked about this at one point.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Thomas C. Howell. Ralph Macchio. Tom Cruise. I've made people happy by saying the ones I'm thinking of. I'm forgetting so many others. Leif Garrett. Everybody's in this movie. It is
Matt Dillon. Emilio
is in it. Okay, great.
Tom Waits.
Yeah. So it's
we've talked about
the
this
greasers
recently.
And the Sochas and the wrong side of the tracks and the angst of teenage boys. Well, we're gonna fight.
Yeah.
Right? I never got in any fights in high
school. No, me neither.
You can sort of skip if you can get around the like I want to fight. You kind of will reach an age in high school where people go, I don't know if I want to fight.
I don't think people actually want to fight.
Right. And, but they fight and, you know, a kid gets killed and then two of the kids have to go on a run and they just kind of all realize like, what the fuck are we doing this
for?
And it's beautiful. I will not steal the experience that you will eventually have.
But you do want to sit next to me and watch me while I watch it.
Man.
Yeah. I've done that before.
I would show your brother
the first time. You're just like watching them react to it.
You could landline call me after you watch it if I'm not there with you. It's a beautiful film. I absolutely love it. Oh my God, I just thought of a movie that I should have put on my
list. We'll hit that. For my number two, I debated having this number one. If you're talking about high school movies.
Yeah.
This is right there. Superbad.
Great call. Didn't even think of Superbad.
But is Superbad a coming-of-age story?
100%.
I think Superbad is one of the greatest movies of all time.
It's the first movie set I was ever on.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you in?
A friend of mine, my business manager now, but we grew up together. We were just lifelong friends at this point. He became friends with Evan Goldberg.
No way.
And also by extension, obviously, Seth Rogen. And so when I came to visit L.A. before I moved here, they were shooting Superbad. And Roy Marks, my longtime friend and business manager, was like, do you want to go to a set? And I was like, of course. And so we were at the party scene set that night. It was the night they shot the conversation out by the car.
Yep, yep.
Between Jonah and Emma. And that movie is based on where they start,
yes.
Right? What do we want at the start of this movie? Beer. We want alcohol. We want friends.
Sex,
we
beer.
Want popular, yes.
Yeah, popularity.
What do we want at the end? To stay friends.
Yeah.
That is,
and they learn that in one day.
Coming of age.
Yes.
Yes. And saying hard truths to somebody and realizing that you got to get shit out. If you're going to be friends with somebody, you got to fucking call shit out. And that goes for every relationship.
Yep.
And you have to create an environment where it's okay to be called out.
Yep.
If it's always like with love, and I'm not ending this friendship, I'm not calling you out to end it. I'm calling you out because I want it to keep going good.
Yes.
100%
such a beautiful
call.
Film, man. Yes. And we love the one day stories, you know, like that's something we talk about a lot.
That. Yeah.
If you can go from here to here, yes. This is going to happen.
Yes.
It's just one crazy night. Yeah. That's what we love on the podcast.
I was bummed when the movie came out because going up to my family's little shack of a cottage in Wisconsin, we'd always listen to oldies music, and so that music sort of feels very like my family, have ownership of it. And when he starts singing "These Eyes," I bummed me out because I was like, "Oh, this is going to become a thing now." And it's thankfully sort of
it kind of did, but yeah. Like for me, it's a thing. Yeah. I like to say,
but I've always loved that song, and I was like, "Fuck, this is going to become part of like comedy culture." Damn it, you know, the movie is so fucking good.
We've been saving it. It was 2007. Was that movie, I think?
No.
Four.
Nine. Because I was on set in 2008. I visited the set in 2008.
Then I think you're right. It says 2007.
Oh, my God.
It says 2007.
I'm sorry. You were right. I visited in 2007, and it came out in 2007. I apologize.
The reason we say that is we were strictly going to do 80s, 90s, and then we moved into early 2000s, and we had to put a limit on it, and we all collectively knew that we want to do Superbad someday on the podcast, so 2007 is kind of our date. And we're saving. I don't know what we're saving it for, but it's going to be a special moment, like, that movie's so important to us. So I'm pumped, man.
I just auditioned for Seth and Evan's new TV show. And I only want to book it to be like, guys, hey, remember me from Craft Services when we ate dinner that night? Yeah, which they won't at all. I mean, Evan and I, enough to be like, oh, yeah, but definitely not Seth. But great dudes. Okay, so what number are we
at? I think this is technically number one, but feel free to throw out anything you want.
This is number one? Okay.
Because I'm coming up on my number one.
Okay, yeah. So
and I think you started.
This is how good I am at memory retention.
This is the worst top five list I've ever done.
I graduated high school, but I definitely came of age. Because it's summer.
Okay.
And I feel crazy because this is my favorite movie, but maybe I'm just, the pressure is making me second guess myself. At the end of Stand By Me.
Okay.
Aren't they going into their freshman year? No, they're 12 going on 13. They're going into 8th grade.
They're going into, junior high, 8th grade or something like that.
Okay, I'll shelve it. But it's my favorite. I love how I asked, then remembered, because at the end he goes, I was 12 going on 13.
Yes.
There's no way they're going into high school. But that's my favorite coming of age movie of all time. And my favorite movie of all
time. Is that going to be your number one?
No.
Or are you gonna,
okay. So number one, the movie I'm not saying, we can go back to for honorable mentions if we have time really quick, is Boys to Men. I think isn't that high school?
Boys to Men?
Boys to Men. Jesus Christ.
Boys in the Hood.
Don't ever cut that out.
Never.
Ever. I want people thinking that I believe On Bended Knee is a coming-of-age movie.
Wait, so a band is a coming-of-age movie? Yeah, all right, yes. Gotcha.
We go full circle. No, Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
I want to come back to that. I can't believe I forgot about that movie. Days of Confused, number one.
Thank you. That's on my list. That's my number one.
It transcends.
Yes.
The crazy thing to think about is that if you made that now for where we are, it's 2004.
I don't like that. So let's move on.
But the reason it's okay is because what people don't understand is your and my childhoods are closer to the childhood of our parents than people born 5 years after us.
Wow.
If you were born 5 years after you and 8 years after me, you were born with the internet.
Yeah, that's weird.
So if you have a sibling 5 years younger than you, they have a much different childhood than you. They have a more different childhood than you, than your mom. So 76 to 94 was two completely different worlds.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, dude. 2004 to now, in some ways, is. It's very much still the same because we were on the track for our technology.
But it's also very different.
Yes. But it's still very different. It just feels so much closer because of media and our ability to like see everything and how we interacted with each other. We already had cell phones. Like, yes, all those things were. The internet was a part of our lives. But Days Confused is just a simple, it's the last day of school. The kids want to have a party.
Last day of school.
The kids try to go to a concert the next day.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it shouldn't be as good as it is. Like, on paper, are you like, this doesn't make any sense?
Linkletter, right? Have you seen Everybody Wants Some?
Is that the spiritual sequel? Yeah, yeah. So Sean on the podcast talks about it all the time.
It's wonderful.
Because he's a giant Linkletter fan. Mm-hmm. I've not seen it yet because I don't think I even knew it existed until Sean started talking about it. But
it's great.
It's kind of the college version, right?
It's great. But, you know, we were talking about Skeeter or Scooter, whatever the hell his name was, from Varsity Blues, and that kind of guy that's like always, you know, and you get some of that, like, check you later, what's with the fucking chair? Like, tone it down, dude. You know, he represents some of that. Obviously, Pink and his journey of like, I don't know that I give a shit about this stuff. But you have that huge scene. The true coming of age is, I want to say I had as much fun as I could when I was stuck in this place. I did as much crazy shit as I could when I was stuck in this place, and forgive me for misquoting. But what did he say? Chase as much tail as
dog
as much grass.
Dog as much chicks or whatever. Yeah,
and that's them really realizing like, this is ending.
Yeah,
make it what it is. Don't sweat it.
Yeah,
somebody says it's going to go on your permanent record for what?
For what?
To who? To who? And I think that you all, and the flip side of that, you get to see Mitch entering his coming of age, and you get to see.
His journey's just beginning.
Yeah, and you get to see O'Banion stunted, not having come of age.
Yeah.
And that without knowing it, the other kids see that, right? They kind of go, it's a fucking deal. He's like, it just seems what we would now call cringe. That they're like, that guy's just, that's what they would probably say today. It's like, it's just like this cringe. Like,
yes.
How old? Because they are in the process of coming age, so they don't have perspective to go, he's just a fuck up.
He's 20,
fucking grew up.
Well, we talked about that with McConaughey. Like, he's probably assumed to be what, like 22, 23 in the movie?
That didn't age well.
No, but he's still cool, but he's about 2 to 3 years away from being completely not cool.
Uncle Rico.
Dude, and he doesn't know it yet.
Right. But the reason he's cool, right, is because he's trying to be what they hope to be.
Yes.
Right? And not trying to be them. O'Bannon is still trying to be them. And they're like, get the fuck out of here. Whereas he's going, I got weed. Yeah, I got a great car. They're like, man, that's what I want to do. You don't have to go home at midnight. Nah. You know? And so his character is also stunted, but hates himself in different ways.
Right?
You know, like, it's a completely different story to the same result.
Yeah.
But yeah, he also, like, you need to grow up, man. Like, stop hanging around these kids.
Yep.
Certainly.
Because actually, like, the coaches are kind of right for Pink Floyd. Like, you know, hey,
I've seen that group you've been hanging around with. Don't think I have noticed.
I think many people would agree with us that you're talking coming of age, you're talking high school movie, yeah. Dazed and Confused. In fact, we give ratings, modern day ratings. I'm pretty sure Dazed and Confused is our number one movie out of 170 that we've done.
Across the board?
I'm pretty sure it's at least one of our favorites, if not the group's average favorite movie that we've done so far.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's literally the best. And if you go back and try to critique it.
Did you guys cut squares? Did you drive around in a predetermined loop like on Fridays and Saturday nights?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Yeah, Rochelle did the same thing.
I mean, and you just, my daughter, who's one and a half, my only child, will never understand anything like that.
Dude, right now they say teenagers are doing less drugs, having less sex, and getting their driver's license at a lower rate than ever before.
Absolute opposite of Dazed and Confused.
Right. And I think a lot of that was because when we were growing up, you needed a car. You needed to be able to leave.
Yes.
You needed to like have
that
your
was your internet.
You couldn't go see your friends or talk to your friends. And now you can go to your room and have, outside of in person, which I think is being undervalued.
Jesus.
You can have every interaction via your phone. You don't need to just go meet up at the McDonald's parking lot just to have
just
your
to have
peers around you. Yes. Yeah, so it's so much of that's gone.
To see what are people saying and doing.
And you needed a car to go do that, and you had to be able to drive that car. God, and I think that's like changed a lot.
That's wild.
Yeah. But you know, even Adam Goldberg's the TV show. But Adam Goldberg's scene where he's like, I'm gonna go fight the guy, and then you know it's like a primal thing, like, and you don't want to disrupt
pretty good impression actually.
I'll come in, I'll like hit him once, and
somebody break it out. That's how fights are.
He learns,
yeah,
right? He learned that's his coming of age. One, don't count on other people,
mm-mm.
Don't do stupid shit hoping that it's just gonna be fine, and don't get in a fight,
just don't,
yeah,
just ignore that guy,
yes.
Maybe don't make a comment about his drug use when you're walking by.
Agreed. Yeah, it's a great coming of age movie. Well, and you know, and by the end they just, it's interesting that they sort of restart the next thing, but I think that they have perspective on it, and it's just super fun to watch.
Best soundtrack of all time.
They had to release two of them.
Yeah.
Because people were like, wait, where's all this other music that was
in
the movie?
Yeah. They spent all their money. There's so many movies that refuse to spend money on soundtracks, and it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Empire Records the other day and how a movie about a record store has a pretty shitty soundtrack.
Agreed. It has like one song, right, that came out of
Gin Blossoms. It's the Till I Hear It From You or something like that.
Although I do think they play a Cranberry song at one point. I might be wrong.
Yeah, and it's like a kind of a weird B-side one.
Yeah.
They got the AC/DC. Yeah, that's cool. It's not
but
on the soundtrack.
Right. It should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, dude, tell everybody where they can find you, man. It's been an absolute blast hanging out with
thanks,
you. And
dude.
I think it's at this point, your special has come out and it's on
great.
YouTube, right?
Yes. Yeah. Rose Gold. Go check it out. It's at Daniel Van Kirk. Everything is at DanielVanKirk.com. If this is before May 18th, I will be in Green Lake, Wisconsin at the Thrasher Opera House. And then this summer, man, I will be all over the place. But I know right now, definitely like in August, I'm in Colorado doing the Comedy Fort.
Sweet.
And other stuff's going to come up as well. You can check out my movie Wine Club. That is
where can you find that at?
You can find that on Prime. It's also on Apple as well.
So you were in the movie?
I'm the lead. Yeah, I'm the feature.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's a feature presentation and it's a movie about me and my wife. She's a co-lead. Taylor Ortega plays her. It's phenomenal. It's a comedy. It feels great to make something that you can say, check out. I think you'll dig it.
Right?
Yeah. So it's a fun movie. We shot it. We shot it in 8 days.
Wow.
A feature film in 8 days. Oh, it was over the course of 10 days, 8 shooting days of principal photography.
Damn.
Yeah. So
definitely please. People don't understand how much work goes into things like this. So just you watching it means so much.
Big deal. And I think,
everybody.
Yeah. And I'm not saying you're going to have a Matrix experience, but I think that if you go on it, be like, yeah, let's watch this little movie. It'll be fun. It's a cute little rom-com. I heard this guy on this podcast. It's all right. I think you'll dig it.
Yeah,
I think you'll like it a lot. So that's Wine Club. Everything else is at DanielVanKirk.com. You can follow me at Daniel Van Kirk on social media. And I have to thank you, man. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for making the time. Thank you. There's a million things you can do in LA. You could have said I had a show last night. I'm not doing anything in the morning.
But you understand as well as I do that making connections like this are so important for all of us. You know,
agreed.
Brad Pitt can start a podcast tomorrow and get 20 million downloads on episode one. But like, we all have to work together
When you're back in town, open invite. Yeah. Come on, Dumb People Town. I say pen pals too. I'm always leery because sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. So I'd hate for you to hear and be like, we're not doing it.
Exactly.
But Dumb People Town is like every week. I'll have you on both 100%. But
we're going to work way more in advance. We're going to work out a time saying, hey, we're coming back this week. We're going to get some stuff done. So I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Okay.
And AJ wants me, before we leave, he says you have the best Mark Wahlberg impression of all time. And he wants you to do it on air.
You want me to talk like this? I can talk like this all day, dude. Do you know where I'm from? I'll tell you about coming of age. You want to hear about coming of age? A little movie called Fear. There was some coming of age on that roller coaster. Did you see that movie? You never seen Fear, have you? Have you seen Fear? Mike, I'm asking you.
Yes, I've seen Fear.
Okay, do you remember what I did with Reese on that roller coaster?
Yeah, I totally remember. It was hot.
Man, you know what? Should have called that coming of age twice. That's what they should have called that. One time we just did it for me and her. We went up there. They weren't even shooting. I was like, we already shot the scene. Reese was like, I don't care. Run it back. And I go, all right, fine. And I made Donnie stay out front and make sure nobody came in and caught us.
Of course, Donnie was there.
Of course, dude. Yeah, that's a little bit
that's amazing, dude.
Thanks, man.
Well, thanks for being here, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.